Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Earl. Thanks to you guys for listening. We're halfway home on this Wednesday installment of Grant and Danny. Ross Tucker, one of our Radio.com NFL insiders, will be with us at 12:45 today. We'll see which way he's leaning in the NFC and AFC championship games. But let's start on the gridiron locally with the Redskins to kick off our Beltway Blitz in town right now. J.P. Finley, NBCSportsWashington.com, covers the Redskins. J.P., the entire coaching staff formally announced by the team today. Were there any surprises, any blanks that were filled in that we didn't know about before then?
I don't think, you know, it, officially we didn't know everything, but I don't think there were any real surprises today. Randy Jordan is the only assistant holdover. We know special teams coordinator Nate Catcher stayed as well, but Ron Rivera was charged with changing this team and changing this culture, and you saw with the coaching staff, he took a sledgehammer to the old version and really reinvented the whole thing.
Joe Pesci, Finley, I want to get to the bottom of why we think Kevin O'Connell left. Is it as simply as I don't want to hitch a wagon to Dwayne Haskins' star? Is it I just want to not be coaching for the Redskins? Is it I thought I'd have more autonomy to hire my own staff, and it looks like you're surrounding me with people that I don't know, I may not be comfortable working with? What, in your estimation, is why Kevin O'Connell is no longer the OC here?
If I had to pick of the three things you said, I think it's not wanting to work with the Redskins and then not being comfortable, not being able to pick his own coaching staff. I also think, and I said this on Chat Show last night, you know, Scott Turner was in the building interviewing, and maybe at that point he was supposed to be quarterback's coach. But if you know that, if you're Kevin and Scott Turner's already in the building while you're still working on potentially being the offensive coordinator, retaining that job, do you want to have to look over your shoulder with Scott Turner around all the time? I don't know that that happened, but you see situations like that where you know the head coach has a lot of familiarity with this other guy he's bringing in. He's got familiarity with his father. He's known these people a long time, and he and I are just starting fresh. Is that the best way for a fresh start? I don't know. I don't think that much, if any, of O'Connell's decision to leave was Haskins related. I think he is smart enough to look big picture. And I think Dwayne showed, you know, some real progression late in the year working with Kevin. Because here's the other part of this. He almost had to know then, but it's lateral in name, but he's taking a position where he's giving up play calling duties. So it's a fairly significant decision that
Do
don't
think. Do we know that for sure, that he's not going to call plays? I mean, we're all assuming that, but do we know that?
I guess I don't know it. I don't think Sean's giving him play-calling duties.
I wouldn't bet so either, but he had enough options that if you told me today he's going to call plays, it wouldn't stun me. But I'm with you. I wouldn't anticipate
given, that. However Jay phrased it last August, I won't be surprised if Sean phrases it similarly, that he has major input into the game plan, right, and all of those sorts of things. But here's what I know, Grant, is that if he stayed here, he would have been calling plays.
Yeah.
Because there's not a head coach with the offensive background.
Very true. Two things. One, I guess a follow-up on that, and then I want to go in a different direction, so we'll make that one quick. The follow-up would be, if you're trying to become a head coach in the next few years, and I'm not saying that's his number one goal, but it's certainly something that would appeal to him, I would imagine. If you are working with the next great quarterback in the league, in your opinion, I do think you would be pretty hesitant to leave. In other words, you're going to get credit if Haskins becomes the dude in this sport. So if he was sold on him, I do think he might have been more inclined to stay here.
Fair point. I think all assistants want to be head coaches, right? I mean, all of them have that ambition. But I would also say this, if you're going to go work on anybody's offensive staff, working for McVay has gotten plenty of guys head coaching jobs too, even without calling plays.
No, it's true.
But it's a fair point. I just think from what I've heard and conversations I've had in the last 4 or 5 months, this was more about Kevin wanting out of the volatile Washington Redskins organization. As much as Ron might stabilize this and everything looks different in 6 months, think about the 3 years O'Connell experienced in D.C.
No, same. I'm with you. You're the same stuff. All right, so then the next one is Chris Cooley. Speaking of what we heard, I mean, I was told pretty much immediately after the report that came out last week, he was not going to be a coach on this staff. Now, could he be an intern or something at camp? Could he kind of go around and help them out? Sure, but I never really thought he was being added to the staff. I mean, where are you at on Cooley as a potential assistant coach?
Well, we've now seen the assistant coaches, and I know there was a rumor or a report, whatever we want to call that, that he was going to be a quality control coach. Well, now we know who the quality control coaches are going to be. He's not going to be one of those. Now, I do believe, Grant, and I need to research the official terms on this, there is kind of an NFL coaching fellowship position that you can find. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Chris wants to do that. And you and I both know him pretty well. I know he desperately wants to get into coaching, but I don't know that he wants to start in an intern role when, you know, I believe there were times in the past few years where he thought maybe he had a real chance at the tight end coach job. So I think the NFLPA Bowl is next week. I think he's going to be out there coaching. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens there. I know Chris isn't answering any questions on this stuff, and there's no way to officially know. I think Chris could be a great football coach, and if it's going to happen anywhere, I think it would happen with the Skins. I just don't know that it's going to happen.
Jerry Palm Finley, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Dandelorean.
All right, we'll see you, buddy. Let's talk some puck, please, Tommy. Everybody, Steven Wino, AP hockey writer, covers these Capitals. Backstrom back, that's good. A lot of money. It means Holtby sort of farewell tour here, Swano. How should Caps fans feel about that?
I mean, probably the same way they should have felt for the past few months, because this is not really all that new, other than Backstrom put pen to paper on a deal. It was pretty clear for a while that you knew Nicklas Backstrom wasn't going to play anywhere else in the NHL, just like Alex Ovechkin's not going to play anywhere else in the NHL. And that with Ilya Samsonov there, top goaltending prospect in the organization, maybe in the league, playing as well as he had, the writing was on the wall for Braden Holtby, and it seemed like this is going to be a very amicable thing. The organization knew Braden Holtby wasn't coming back. Braden Holtby knew he wasn't coming back, but they're going to play this out and try to win the Stanley Cup again this spring.
Steve Wino on the Beltway Blitz with us on Grant and Danny. Who do you worry about in the Metro if you're the Capitals most?
It's probably still the Penguins at this point. I mean, look, this is a team that has dealt with so many injuries. Sidney Crosby out for 2 months, essentially, with his core muscle injury. Comes back last night, four-point game. This is a team that is well-coached. Tristan Jarry is now an all-star goaltender. And given the way Mike Sullivan has this team playing right now, I think Barry Trotz's Islanders are a coach close second. But the Penguins right now are just as scary as they've been, even if they've maybe had some of the salary cap losses that Stanley Cup champions usually do.
This may not be fair, but I want more from Evgeny Kuznetsov. I mean, that mega deal that he signed, and I feel like there are nights where he just kind of disappears a little bit. I want him to be the best player on the team on a nightly basis. Carlson may have that mantle at this point, but I feel like we need some more from Kuznetsov if the Caps are going to get back to where we think they can go.
Right, but he doesn't want to be that. And he has said it in the past. He said, look, to be MVP, you have to care 82 games a year. And he's a guy who we saw in the playoffs in 2018 that he can turn it on, but that he does have these games where he is either disappears or isn't as effective. And he's a guy who, when he's a difference maker, he is that. And I don't know if it's just kind of he's come through a KHL schedule where he's playing fewer games, if it's the mentality of getting up for big games, but I don't know that Kuznetsov's ever going to be a night-in, night-out takeover player. But the Capitals have to hope that he gives them enough to get to the playoffs and then can flip a switch come April.
Steve Wino of the Associated Press on the Caps in the NHL. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
Lock it in at noon every day on Grant and Danny for your Beltway Blitz, the teams in town you care the most about. Let's look ahead to the championship matchups on Sunday next. First glimpse at the AFC and NFC title games for G&D. This has been a show for that.
The crankiest elderly.
Odell Beckham Jr. I am so good on Odell Beckham Jr. for so long. So forget that he is the ultimate diva and a complete pain in the butt teammate. There's a video of him online that was him after the game on the sideline, came out onto the field to celebrate with a bunch of the LSU players, where he was just taking out wads of cash out of his pocket and handing it to those players. Guys who, you know, that's a violation, however you think of the NCAA rules and all that.
It's pretty clearly written down.
You're not allowed to do that, right? So, of course, it came out that that was fake cash. Tom can't play, oh, I'm sure, right now, but I'll say it for him. Oh, I'm sure.
Oh.
Now, maybe it was fake cash. I'll leave open that possibility. I don't care. It's still stupid. Please don't bring fake cash and hand it out to guys on video in front of millions of people with cameras rolling. That could potentially get them in trouble. Not all of these guys are entering the NFL draft. I'm sure that you're handing this stuff to. What are you doing? There's another video that came out of Coach O addressing the team, and Odell Beckham Jr. is in the locker room, like, screaming basically over Coach O as he's giving his post-championship speech to his players. And Odell Beckham Jr. is in the locker room yelling. You want to be in the locker room as a former LSU Tiger? That's fine. This is not about you, Odell Beckham. This is not your thing to celebrate. Now, if you want to just be along for the ride and Darius Geis and all these guys can come back too and you help build this program, cool. But there's a difference between being there and making it about you, don't you think?
There is a Grand Canyon difference between
you know
being
how many
happy
LSU
your alma
players
mater.
Were there. Booger McFarland was like the captain. He was on the sideline all night. I never saw him post game. I never saw him screaming over top of Coach O. I never saw him putting wads of cash out of his big what's the thing that the nerds used to wear that now it's cool to wear with cash in it?
Pocket protection? Money
no,
clip?
No, it's a big thing. You wear it on your stomach.
Man like, purse? Satchel? Fanny pack.
Fanny pack. Thank you. Dar, there you are. Fanny pack.
It's weird. Grant kept pointing to his pelvis, and I was like, dude, I'm not saying that.
No, you're not saying that. So he has like a fanny pack, and he's like pulling cash out of it and giving it to people, and he's like Mr. Cool Guy with his fanny pack hanging from his neck. So there's a new video that just came out from Instagram, like Old Rose Sports or something, and it's some type of security guard dressed, looks like a cop. He's got all kinds of the cop stuff that you would have. I'm guessing he's a security guard of some type. But he looks like he's loaded up with all of the things like flashlights and maybe weapons and stuff that a cop would have.
The accoutrements, sure.
And he's talking to an LSU player. And it seems to me, and this is all, again, you can kind of hear the volume, but you don't know what he's saying. He's like pointing at something, and the guy's lifting up what looks to be like a bottle of Gatorade or something, and he's like asking him a question. I don't know if it's team security or what it is, but maybe he's like giving the player a bit of a hard time or razzing him or asking questions to this guy, and they're like, get away, man, get away. Odell Beckham Jr. is behind this guy. Again, this is like maybe a security guy, but maybe a cop. And Odell Beckham Jr. like has something in his hand that he like throws at this guy and like from behind and like kind of flicks past the guy. And the guy turns around like, what are you doing? And then he slaps this guy on the ass. Odell Beckham Jr. does. This like police officer. He just like literally like just slaps him on the butt. And the guy turns around like, what are you doing? And Odell Beckham Jr. starts backpedaling like, oh crap, it's about to get real. And then he just starts like laughing and jumping around with all the guys like, you know, Dwight Howard just won the dunk contest. But I'm over him. Like
the big takeaway is you're over that guy.
I'm so done. Like, who are you to be slapping this security guard in the butt, this grown man? You're, like, hitting him in the butt like you're some class clown. You're flicking stuff at him while he's trying to talk to this player and do his job. You're handing out this cash. You're yelling as Coach O's giving his speech. And I think this is my frustration at the end of the day, okay? So, like, this all happens, and these videos all get posted. And it's the like, endorsing of this, and, like, the OBJ is so cool, man, giving these kids cash. This video from Old Rose Sports, the caption is, OBJ really slapped that man's bleep. With, like, four crying emojis
like how,
laughing.
How, yeah.
But it's just laughing emojis, crying.
Right.
OBJ really slapped that man's bleep. Like we're supposed to endorse this behavior. Why is it okay to act like an idiot now? When did it become okay if you're good at something? I don't care if it's football or golf or being a waiter or dancing. To not act within the confines, the rules of society.
I mean, some stuff goes out
it's
the window
so
when you win a national title. So, like, I'm fine. For example, there apparently was a kerfuffle, not even arriving at that. But there was, like, some consternation. Several LSU players are smoking cigars after the national title. The rules are you can't smoke indoors. You can't.
Yes.
That's okay. That's a little bit of revelry.
If this guy's
fun.
And by the way, if this guy's smoking a cigar or has like alcohol or something and he's not supposed to because he's 20, I have no idea, but I'm just saying. And this security guard's being a pain in the butt. Yeah. Wrong place, wrong time, dude. Please back away. It's the national championship. Let these kids live their lives.
Sure, this is small time.
But same thing with, like, people will tell you with that Antonio Brown video when he's yelling these profanities, these awful things at these police officers or at his baby's mama or at his child or whatever. Like, oh, well, she was trying to steal. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if this guy is about to arrest a kid for smoking a cigar. Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't get to slap him in the butt.
This is kind of my
point. Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't get to flick something in his face. And I need adults to act like adults. And when they don't, I want to stop acting like they're funny or cool. We're not in high school anymore.
There was a bit of you know, the New York Times. I think I saw some columnist and a couple of people were like, you mean to tell me that LSU canceled classes because their team won the national title? Not just for the quote-unquote college athletes on the football team, but like for regular students? Ridiculous. Like they're all upset about that. And that's one of those, nope. Let's save our consternation. Let's save our angst for stuff that's real. Like, for example, a guy that went to LSU 6-7 years ago, handing cash to players, smacking security guards on the buttocks, and just sort of making the entire procedure about him. Let's save our irritation for guys like that instead of a group of kids having fun. Does that make sense? Like a grown adult that is what Odell Beckham is supposed to be, a professional that's living in our in the world. Please behave like a grown adult. It's perfectly wonderful to be happy. I was very happy when the Nats won the World Series. Didn't smack any security guards. Managed to not commit any crimes.
The actions are annoying to me. But I can live with thinking Odell Beckham Jr. is a fool or Antonio Brown's a fool. It's the adult human beings that endorse their behavior that really grind my gears.
Mm.
People who can watch the Antonio Brown video and their takeaway isn't, this is sickening and deplorable. When their takeaway is, but what did she do though? You know, or with Odell Beckham Jr., why is this cop in the locker room? I don't know. Maybe that cop's an idiot. He might be. Maybe he's trying to figure out if this guy's smoking a cigar. Why is he asking him to look at his Gatorade bottle? I don't know. But here's what else I know. Don't slap him in the butt. Don't throw something at him. Like, what? And why are you even there, Odell Beckham Jr.?
Exactly.
Go where all the other players are with the family section. Why are you shouting over Coach O as he's addressing his team after the game? But it's the... What's the word? Enabling is the word I'm looking for.
Mm.
When people, there was a time, I think, when people acted a fool where we just said, oh my goodness, this guy acts a fool. And now it's like, someone get your mans, emoji with tears. Whose mans is this? Ha ha. No. Adult, act like an adult. Please act like an adult right now. Or else everyone needs to acknowledge this is not a person we need to be surrounding ourselves with. I just don't get it. Greg says, you say OBJ, a pain in the bleep teammate, like you played with him before. I've never heard any of his teammates say a bad word about him. Okay. Ask Freddie Kitchens what he thinks about Odell Beckham Jr. Ask Ben McAdoo what he thinks about Odell Beckham Jr. Ask Pat Shurmur what he thinks about Odell Beckham Jr. Ask general manager of the Browns, John Dorsey, or the general manager of the Giants before that. I'll bet you could find some people that don't have great things to say about Odell Beckham Jr. as a teammate. You ever watched him on the sidelines for 6 minutes? You ever watched him in a game where he's not getting the football? I'm sure he's awesome to deal with. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. 800-636-1067. First look at the AFC and NFC championship game next.
Guys, Danny Ruye here. My friends at the St. James. There's no off-season at the St. James, the DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James, it's a sports utopia. There's something for everybody there. This week, for example, the state-of-the-art field house, right? So you got multiple state-of-the-art indoor venues there. Two regulation size ice rinks, turf field house, gymnastics center, Olympic-sized pool. All that stuff's amazing. Got a great basketball facility. They're using it 18th through the 20th, hosting the inaugural Kevin Durant MLK Classic Basketball Tournament, featuring some of the top high school teams and players from around the country. That's happening at the St. James. That happened at your local YMCA. It's at the St. James, baby. Premium Health Club offers top-of-the-line equipment and weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. In fact, every new member gets two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. Very cool. And now, for a limited time, you join the St. James and you pay zero initiation fees and get $250 off of sports programming. It's a great deal. Visit thestjames.com. That's thestjames.com/2020.
Ross Tucker stops by the show at 12:45, 11 minutes out. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Looking forward to hearing how Ross Tucker thinks the Chiefs can stop Derrick Henry if possible. And with that in mind, let's get to our first glimpse of Championship Sunday, the AFC and NFC title games, now just 4 days away. We really haven't taken a good peek at this just yet, but we'll start with the aforementioned AFC game. The Chiefs and Andy Reid trying to get to the Super Bowl. They've been one of the cream of the crop clubs in the AFC for several years now. Andy Reid's one of the great coaches in league history who's never won a Super Bowl. And he really hasn't even gotten all that close. If you look back to his Philadelphia time, they knocked on the door a bunch.
Conference title games.
Conference title games. Played the Super Bowl against New England at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is his best opportunity, probably.
The
you don't have to
cleared,
deal with the
right?
Patriots. You get a Titans team that went 9-7 in the regular season. And you have an opportunity right now to push your way through and get either San Francisco or Green Bay, which would probably be an even game in Vegas.
Tennessee is not your normal six seed. And this happens sometimes in this sport. Typically, we remember these wild card teams making runs. Think of the Ravens in 2012 or you know, the 9-7 Giants teams that make a run. It's normally your teams that are excellent that get here, right? Usually they're gone by this at the end of the second weekend. Tennessee is not your normal six seed, as I said. They're not just your normal group that went 2-4, was 500 at the halfway mark. This is a group that's on fire right now. They're playing Mike Vrabel-style football, which is taking away the thing that you do best on offense and doing the thing that they want to do on when they've got the football. What's happening right now is the Derrick Henry show. We know that, we're aware of it. Ryan Tannehill, I think, is throwing a combined 30 passes, give or take, over these course of these couple games. That they're not winning with him, even in spite of him. He's a caretaker, throwing a couple long touchdown passes, and then kind of that's it. But what's happening that's not getting enough attention is how good Tennessee's defense has been. This was a group that was pedestrian, I thought, for a lot of the season. Not special. Nothing about what they were doing in the middle of the year when they're giving up 30 points to Carolina, giving up 38 to the Saints in a blowout loss. Told me they'd be able to do this. You don't get 200 yards from Derrick Henry without getting the other team off the field, whether it's forcing turnovers, whether it's stopping the run themselves, whether it's pressure on passers. Their defense has been really impressive. Toughest task, though, not only of the postseason, but of this season, I think, for them, this version of Kansas City.
Yeah, this is an arduous out, this Tennessee team, because of the way they defend and run the football. And as Andy Reid said, they're not a fluke. This isn't an accident that they got this far.
All the way around, this it's a well-deserved team to be in this position. So we've got to make sure we have a good week of practice.
I didn't think the Titans could make this run because I just wasn't sure they'd be able to make enough plays in the passing game, but they have not had to. Almost 400 rushing yards from Derrick Henry. I mentioned this earlier on this week when after the last round, we talked about what the championship matchups looked like on paper, and the Chiefs played the Titans this season, and as you mentioned, the Titans won that game 35-32, but in that game, Derrick Henry went 23 for 188 and 2. He had as legendary a performance as anything he's done in the last 2 weeks. They couldn't stop him. They rushed for over 200 yards as a team. Now, the Chiefs almost won that game shootout style. It took Pat Mahomes going for 446 yards and 3 touchdowns. This is what you're going to get again. Pat Mahomes going ham sandwich and Derrick Henry putting up crazy numbers. The way to beat them, in my opinion, is to play them the way New England did. Henry gets his numbers because he's going to. You're not going to stop him. You can put 8 or 9 in the box if you want to. Still not going to keep him from gaining yards and falling forward for 4 and 5 at a time and moving the sticks. But take away the big plays and play action.
Uh-huh.
Take away the first down shot play they scored a 45-yard touchdown on. Some of the deeper stuff to tight end Jonnu Smith in the red zone. Hold them to field goals, and then all of a sudden you can get into that 14-13, 17-14 kind of game they played and barely escaped against New England. And Henry in that game went for almost 200 as well. Because he can run all day long. Doesn't mean they're going to score a lot of points. Over to the NFC we go. San Francisco 49ers, Green Bay Packers. Kyle Shanahan in his third season in San Fran has this team now favorites to get to the Super Bowl. And as of right now, favorites to win the whole thing. He opposes his longtime buddy, one of his best friends, his quarterback's coach in Washington. and in Atlanta, Matt LaFleur. These guys know each other like the back of their hands. In fact, LaFleur learned football from Kyle Shanahan as a coach. That's his main mentor. It's going to be a fun X's and O matchup for those two guys. San Francisco's just better than Green Bay.
Yep.
So if both of these teams play their best game, the Packers are going to home and the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. Here's where Green Bay could win this game, I think. First of all, Aaron Jones needs to be able to run the ball. The Vikings could not do that. They couldn't stay balanced, and they were behind the chains all day long. When you are 3rd-and-7 or 3rd-and-8 against this San Francisco team, your quarterback's going to get destroyed. You will have no time to pass. And like Kirk Cousins, you'll get sacked 6 times and hit another 15 or 16. You lose that game. You got to be able to run the ball. I think Green Bay will have a better chance to do that this week than the Vikings did last week.
I think Green Bay's defensive line, which was so good against Seattle, has got to be even better against San Francisco. And they got to force a turnover or two in this one. I think Devontae Adams has to be the hero he was in the previous round. And somebody else has to step up for Green Bay. I don't know that you can just beat them trying to beat them at their own game. I see your point about running the ball on them. Minnesota couldn't do it. And Aaron Jones, I think, is a better option for Green Bay generally, whether that's catching the ball to the backfield or coming downhill. I think they're going to have to get into convert some third and longs, which San Francisco feasts on. They're giving up
That means Rodgers out of the pocket, probably.
Yeah, 3.3 yards per play this postseason San Francisco's allowed.
It's crazy. But that's because, it's one game, obviously, because they had a bye. So that was 3.3 yards against the Vikings. What you said right in the postseason?
Yeah, so far in the postseason.
So this one game. And that the Minnesota couldn't run the ball. Now, it doesn't have to just be the run to set up third and manageable. You can also throw bubbles and smokes and crossers and drags and some short stuff. And I would do that too. Quick game, on first down, a ton. If I'm Matt LaFleur, it's Aaron Rodgers out wide, make a sure tackle, that's fine. I'm picking up 3 at 2nd-and-7. Now I'm throwing something quick and hot on a slant. It's 3rd-and-4, 3rd-and-3. And I'm trying to live that way. But you also have to try to get something going on the ground. Do you think that the game we saw on November 24th, right around Thanksgiving, San Francisco beat Green Bay 37-8. That night, the Packers were 8-2 going into that game. San Francisco was 9-1. We're like, oh, this is a matchup of two potential
NFC. We hyped it. Remember,
NFC
it was a big deal.
Front runners. 37-8 49ers in San Fran. They destroyed them.
I think it matters because I think Green Bay is just a worse version of what San Francisco is right now, right? The way that they play. And Green Bay statistically should have been a 10-6 team. And I'm not knocking them for that. They earned their breaks, but they did get those things. To me, the way that you play, if Aaron Rodgers, you allow him to be Hall of Fame orchestrator, I got to pull one of these wins from my butt, maybe you can do that. But I don't think that's the way they've been this year.
Kyle Shanahan's trying to tell his team that game has nothing to do with this weekend.
This is the NFL, so no team. The game before never matters like that. There's 4 teams left, and it's 4 very, very good teams, and it's going to be a hard game for all of us. So, and also our players, the type of guys they are, the way they've been all year, I'm not concerned about that. They'll have to answer that question, I'm sure, a lot, but I don't think that'll be a worry for our players, which means it won't be for me.
It's almost here. Championship Sunday, 4 days away. Ross Tucker on those two games, the Luke Kuechly retirement as well, and what he makes of Ron Rivera's coaching staff, which was officially announced by the Redskins today. He joins us next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Joining us right now is our Radio.com Sports NFL insider and friend Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vance. Catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show on radio.com/home, or search home on the radio.com app. Go check it out. Ross, big thanks for joining us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline today. Always appreciate having you on. I want to start with Pat Mahomes. There's no amount of money I wouldn't spend to watch that guy live. For me, he's the most exciting player in football. When he was down 24-0 with the Chiefs this weekend, did any part of you think he was coming back? Did you give him a chance because they're so quick strike, or did you think they were done?
If I'm being honest, I probably thought they were done. I mean, if we're talking percentage chance, I probably thought there was like a 20-25% chance that they could come back at that point, just because of Patrick Mahomes and just because of that high, you know, high stakes, very explosive offense. But I didn't think it was very likely. I think Mahomes, maybe Russell Wilson, there aren't many guys in that position that I would think would be able to do it at that point like he did.
How is Tennessee doing this? If the whole world knows that Derrick Henry's getting the ball, doesn't seem like somebody would be able to stop it at this point, Ross. What are you seeing from this offense? It's been unbelievable.
Well, and by the way, let me just take a step back on the Mahomes thing. I still don't think I've ever seen a game like that. I put that out on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. It's one thing, guys, that they were able to come back. It's a totally different thing that it was like not even 10 minutes later, it seemed like, and you knew the game was over and the Chiefs were going to win.
In less than a quarter, they came back.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't like, you know, everybody's like, oh, this reminds me of the Bills when they beat the Oilers. No. That was like an epic comeback where the Bills needed a field goal at the end to send it to overtime. This was not that. This was a blowout the other way by midway through the third quarter. I mean, I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. As for the Titans, I called that game Saturday night. I was in Baltimore. And I can tell you right now. So first of all, Derrick Henry deserves a lot of credit, especially I thought in the Baltimore game. But if you go back to the New England game, because I watched that tape preparing, their offensive line is slaughtering dudes right now. I mean, there were plays against the Patriots where the tight end, Michael Pruitt, the tackle, Taylor Lewan, and Roger Saffold, the left guard, all three of those guys were pancaking dudes, which you just don't see in the NFL. And if you watch the Patriots game and even a bunch of plays in the Ravens game, the amount of times where Henry is getting 2 or 3 yards before he's touched, it's a lot. And let's just talk physics here, right? I hated science. It was my worst subject, but I know this much. A 250-pound dude who's got a 10-yard runny before he's touched, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, you know, it's physics. It's crazy. And even like on the 1-3 and 1, Judon hit him with everything he had, but he didn't wrap up. And Henry just kept going. He bounced off of him. It's unbelievable what they're doing right now. And I'm sure Redskins fans will be thrilled to know that the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, yes, once again, was a former Redskins assistant. Arthur Smith was there for 2 years. I don't know if you remember, Grant, but he was there my last year in the NFL in 07. Arthur Smith was on the coaching staff.
Really?
And now,
I did not know that. I've been enamored with him and studying him the last month or so. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it gets even better. Arthur Smith, 2007-2008, was with the Redskins on the coaching staff because I remember talking to him several times. I didn't find out later, until later, he's Fred Smith's son. Like the multi-billionaire founder of FedEx, kind of a big company. You probably heard of it. Like FedEx still, his dad, I think, still part owner of the Redskins with Daniel Snyder. He's the offensive coordinator for the Titans right now. Think about that. By the way, think about the fact that the guy was like a quality control coach for 10 years, working 18-hour days when his dad's worth $6 billion.
That's something.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And by the way, if you talk to the guy, you would never know it. Never. You would never know it. He is the most down-to-earth, unassuming guy. I mean, literally, it's going to come out tomorrow, but he is who I wrote about this week in my column for The Athletic. I mean, think about this, okay? Ryan Tannehill, best passer rating and highest rated quarterback in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. So that's two different metrics. He was never even thought of as being in the top half of the league when he was with the Dolphins before he got Arthur Smith. Derrick Henry leads the NFL in rushing, 500 yards more than he's ever had in his career. A.J. Brown was like considered the other receiver. He leads the NFL in yards per catch, 20 yards per catch, 1,000 yards. Jonnu Smith, career year. I mean, I'm watching the Titans against the Patriots. He's got Anthony Firkser from Harvard catching touchdown passes and big. I mean, Arthur Smith is the breakout star. People don't even know his name, let alone his incredible backstory of being Fred Smith's son. It's crazy, and it's really impressive. And you put it all together, it's why they have a chance against the Chiefs, because they're going to run the crap out of the ball and keep it away from Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, Vrabel and Dean Pease are smart enough. They're not going to let Mahomes throw it over their head. They're not going to let Kelce kill him. They're going to have to earn it. And I still think the Chiefs win the game, but they're going to have to earn it the old-fashioned way. They're not going to be able to get 60-yard bombs to Tyreek Hill.
Ross Tucker on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Matt LaFleur, who I covered for 4 years here in Washington, year one, is headed to the NFC Championship game with Green Bay. And you saw this with Mike McCarthy, and it's going to be happening now in Dallas. He was just riding the coattails of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he was not a good coach, as you know, Ross. He just happened to be there when Rodgers was there, so all his numbers can be dismissed. I wonder, though, like, what type of job has LaFleur done? How do we know? Rodgers is not quite the same guy. How do you judge a guy like that when you inherit a pretty good situation and a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I think he deserves credit for Green Bay's running game being the best it's been in a long time. You know, that's how I look at it. And it's actually kind of weird, guys. This is the first time in a long time that the Packers can win with their running game. It's also the first time in a long time that the Packers can win with their defense. And, oh, by the way, they still have Aaron Rodgers. He's still Aaron Rodgers, even though he wasn't as good this year as he's been other years. And they're 14-3. And yet nobody wants to give him that much credit. It's kind of bizarre. I mean, any of the last 10 years, probably, if you told me that Aaron Rodgers would have a really good running game and a really good defense, I'd be like, well, forget it. They're the favorites. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. And that's not the case. I don't think they're going to beat the Niners. They could. I think the Niners are better up front. You know, the Niners had not run the ball that well in a while. Their defensive line hadn't been as dominant, and I don't know if it was the bye week or what, but their D-line with Dee Ford back, they came out of hiding and dominated the Vikings, and they ran the ball right down the Vikings' throat. And I think that they'll probably have a decent chance to do that against Green Bay. I think they're both good games. I like the home team in both. I like the away team getting the points in both.
Ross, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man. Be well.
All right. See you, dudes.
Great guest. We have him on regularly here throughout the NFL season. Ross Tucker joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. And he was with us by way of Radio.com Sports, our NFL insider. Those calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Catch Ross every weekend. Home and Home is the show. His new show, Radio.com, daily. You can use the Radio.com app to listen. Big thanks to Ross Tucker. Craig Lachlan joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on Nicholas Backstrom's new contract and how the Caps can get back on track as the most dominant team in the East next on Grant and Danny.
Window Nation did work on my home. They did work on Grant's home. So many of our listeners' homes as well. I would not be endorsing Window Nation if I didn't love the work that they did. It's that simple. I recommend them. I cannot recommend them enough. Call today and you get one window. You buy one window, you get one for free. Plus, you buy now, you pay later with no down payment, no payments, and 0% financing until 2021.
Pretty incredible deal from our friends at Window Nation. I've got windows and a door at my house from Window Nation. I took advantage of one of their amazing offers, just like the one that they've got going on right now. What amazed me about the entire process was just how seamless everything was. They go room to room, so you're not interrupted. You're not annoyed. There's nothing going on at your house to keep you from getting into, you know, the kitchen to eat or whatever it is when they're there for a couple of days if you got a big project going on. 150,000 windows last year by their experts installed. 99.5% of the time, there was no follow-up service requested. That's pretty amazing.
It's phenomenal. And right now, Window Nation is going to pay your heating bills if you order Window Nation windows until they're installed. So start 2020 off a whole lot warmer with Window Nation's resolution of savings event. You got nothing to lose and nothing to pay for one year. Call 866-98-866-98-NATION or visit windownation.com. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.